a casket may appear, or a black wallet fly through the air. You may see a severe, dark, wintry scene. The picture of a character from an old book long forgotten may appear and disappear. In between may be a grouping of opposing symbols representing your hope, a spring flower, a table loaded with food, a new suit of clothes, any sign of abundance that would have meaning to you. Nowhere would the thought of the potential loss of a job enter in. It would seem to you that you had forgotten it.
9:57.
Through the use of symbols, however, your feelings would be given full play, each image rising and falling in flow with feelings so far underneath consciousness, pools of emotion that you were not aware of them. They would automatically bring about these images, however. Now, with reflection, you could connect these with their origin, but usually they would pass you by. If you let yourself lie still longer with eyes closed, the symbolism would continue to change character, losing perhaps some of its visual characteristics and growing more intense in other directions. You might think you smell a particular odor, for example, that is distasteful to you, following through with the situation as given. You might, instead, translate the fear into a frightening physical sensation and suddenly feel that you are falling or something unpleasant touched you. Any of these changing characteristics of symbols should alert you to the altered state of your consciousness. If you let yourself drift off into sleep here, you would most probably manufacture two or three dreams that symbolized the fear, dreams in which you consider and try out possible solutions within the dream context. The job situation might never appear as such within any of the dreams, of course. Still, to the unconscious, the problem has been set and given. In the following deep, protected areas of sleep, the higher centers of the inner self are allowed to function and come to the aid of the three-dimensionally oriented portion of the personality. This more liberated self sees the situation much more clearly, suggests a given line of action but does not order it, and informs the dreaming self. The dreaming self then manufactures a group of dreams in which the solution is stated within a symbolic dream situation.
10:11.
The final and more specific interpretation is done in areas of dreaming closer to the waking self, when the symbols grow more and more specific. There is a much more narrow aspect to symbolism, therefore. The closer you get to waking consciousness, the more limited and narrow the symbol. The handier it is in a given physical circumstance, the less valuable it is as a waking lifetime characteristic symbol. To some extent, the more precise a symbol is, the less meaning it can contain. In the most important dream work done in the deep, protected sleep periods, the symbols are powerful enough and yet condensed enough so that they can be broken down, used in a series of seemingly unrelated dreams as connectives, retain their original strength, and still appear in different guises, becoming in each succeeding dream layer more and more specific. Now, even as you go about your day, your consciousness fluctuates, and you can catch yourself symbolizing in these different ways if you get in the habit of observing but not interpreting the state of your mind. Each physical event that has happened to you is filed away within your psyche as a definite group of symbols. These do not represent the experience, they contain the experience. These represent your personal symbol bank as far as your present life is concerned.
Pause at 10:20.
There is a great unity between your daytime symbols and your dreaming ones. In a miraculous shorthand, many symbols carry the burden of far more than one experience, of course. And one symbol will therefore evoke not only one given experience, but similar ones. Personal association, therefore, is highly involved with your personal bank of symbols, and it operates in the dream states precisely as in waking life, but with greater freedom and drawing from the future in your terms as well as from the past. Therefore, you have greater use of symbolism in the dream state, for you are aware of past and future symbols. These vary in intensity, often they cluster together. Such multidimensional symbols will appear then in many ways, not simply visually. They will affect not only your own physical reality, but all realities in which you are involved. In a manner of speaking, the symbols that you know are but a tail end of greater symbols. You may take your break.
10:28. Jane's trance had been deep. She was extremely relaxed. She happened to mention that while in trance, she often didn't know whether her eyes were open or closed. I told her that almost always she looked directly at whoever Seth might be addressing, and that she used a range of physical movements and voice effects that could vary considerably. Resume at 10:43.
Now, resume dictation. When I referred to your personal bank of symbols, I meant to specify that this bank was yours from the day of your birth and before. It contained the symbols of your past existences in your terms, and in your terms, you add to it in this life. This bank of symbols must be activated, however. For example, you have visual images when you are born, internal visual images, symbols that are activated the moment you open your eyes for the first time. These serve you as learning mechanisms. You keep trying to utilize your eyes properly until exterior images conform with the inner patterns. This is extremely important and not understood by your scientists. The eye-opening activates the inner mechanism. If there is something wrong physically with the eyes, if they are blind, for example, then that particular mechanism is not activated at that time. The personality may have chosen to be born blind for his own reasons. If those reasons change, or if inner psychic developments occur, then the physical eyes will be healed and the inner mechanism activated. There are endless varieties of behavior along these lines. The inner banks of symbols, however, operate as a drawing account, latent unless you take advantage of them. You think before you learn language, as I mentioned earlier in this book, but you already have at your psychic fingertips past experiences from other lifetimes to guide you.
Pause at 10:49.
Those who are born into the same nationality, say, twice consecutively, learn to speak much quicker the second time around. Some infants will think in the language of a past life before the new language is learned. All of this has to do with the use of symbols. Sound is itself a symbol. You understand that from a given point of silence, sound begins and grows louder. What you do not understand is that from that given point of silence, which is your point of non-perception, sounds also begin that grow deeper and deeper into silence, yet still have meaning and as much variety as the sounds that you know, and these are also symbols. The thought unspoken has a sound that you do not hear, but that is very audible at another level of reality and perception.
11:00.
Trees, as they stand, are a sound that, again, you do not perceive. In your dreams, and particularly beyond those dreams that you recall, are areas of consciousness in which these sounds are automatically perceived and translated into visual images. They operate as a sort of shorthand. Given certain sounds, you could recreate your universe as you know it unconsciously, and any one multidimensional symbol can contain all the reality that you know. End of dictation.
Pause.
Now, a few remarks.
There followed a page or so of personal data. End at 11:06 p.m. Session 573, March 10, 1971, 9:37 p.m., Wednesday. This session was witnessed by Patty Middleton, who drove down to Elmira from Ottawa, Canada, yesterday to attend Jane's ESP class. We met Patty in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in September 1970, while we were on tour for Jane's own book, The Seth Material. Today, Patty filled Jane in on her studies in operant conditioning, how, with a simple yoga-like technique, monitored by an electroencephalograph, she learned to turn on her alpha brainwaves. This resulted in her achieving a certain state of relaxed awareness, where perceptions and feelings were held in ideal balance. The alpha technique is thought to have many medical potentials, although it isn't really known how the state is produced. Each practitioner has his or her own explanation and feeling for it. Seth comments briefly on alpha at the beginning of the session. Patty enthusiastically told us that Seth's material on the various stages of consciousness in the 569th and 570th sessions in Chapter 17 closely agreed with her recent studies. In addition, her comments and information fit in so well with this present chapter that I began to wonder if something more than coincidence had led her to visit us now. We hadn't been corresponding with her. A note. Patty read the late chapters of Seth's book, but Jane did not. The two of them discussed the material, though.
Now.
Good evening, Seth. To Patty.
I did not think that you did a very good job imitating my voice. Now surely I do not sound as badly as all that. I have a few remarks. Now, the alpha state is a threshold, a preliminary state between the physically oriented portions of the personality and the inner self. Rupert often propels himself through this state to deeper states and to a large extent is unfamiliar with it. Characteristically, when he leaves his body, he does the same thing, hardly pausing at the threshold of alpha, but taking off from there. I want to do some dictation, though I may have some comments later, so give us a moment here.
Pause at 9:42.
Now, physically, smell, sight, and sound are combined together to give you your main sense data and compose your physical senses. At other levels, however, these are separated. Odors, therefore, have a visual reality, and as you know, visual data can also be perceived in terms of other sense perceptions. The symbols can come together or fly apart, can be perceived separately or as a unity. As each event has its own symbol for you, so you have your characteristic way of combining these. These symbols can be translated and perceived in many terms, as a series of notes, for example, as a combination of senses, as a series of images. At various stages of consciousness, you will perceive the symbols in different terms. The multidimensional symbol in its entirety, then, has a reality in other states of consciousness, but also at other levels of reality entirely.
9:45.
You operate as if your thoughts were secret, though you should know by now that they are not. Not only are your thoughts apparent through telepathic communications, for example, but without your conscious awareness, they also form what you may call pseudo-images beneath the range of physical matter as you normally perceive it in some cases, or above this same range. It is therefore as if your thoughts appear within other realities as objects, alive and vital in themselves, growing into other systems as flowers or trees grow up, seemingly from nothing within physical reality. These can then be used as the raw material, so to speak, in certain other systems. They are the given natural data, the raw material of creativity and the realities that you help seed but do not perceive. In this manner of speaking, your thoughts then follow laws. Their behavior follows laws and their activities that you do not understand, though you call your thoughts your own. They are then manipulated independently of you by other kinds of consciousness as ever-changing natural phenomena. The native consciousness within such systems is not aware of the origin of this phenomena, nor of your own reality. They take the evidence that appears to their senses as reality, as most of you do. It would not occur to them that this phenomenon originated outside of their own system. If I were to make the same statement, for example, to any of my readers, I would be accused of saying that physical reality was composed of the discards of the universe. I am not saying that, nor implying it in the case just mentioned. In your system, you have a direct hand in the formulation of physical reality. Your natural given data is the result of individual, mass, and collective thoughts, feelings, and emotions materialized. Your system, in this respect, is more creative than the systems just mentioned. On the other hand, within these other systems, there is a strong, innovative group consciousness developing, in which identity is retained but greater interplay allowed between individuals, a large, creative interchange of symbol pools, a drawing upon mental and psychic symbols with greater facility. Because of this, these individuals recognize more clearly the connection between creative images and given sense data. They purposely alter and change their given sense data and experiment with it.
Pause at 10 o'clock.
All of this involves a working with symbols in a most intimate manner. At certain levels of your personality, you are aware of all the different ways in which symbols are used, not only in your system, but in others. As mentioned earlier, no system of reality is closed. Your thoughts and images and feelings therefore alter the given sense data in some other systems. The innovative patterns developed in those systems, however, can be to some extent perceived within your own. There are constant bleed-throughs. In your various stages of consciousness, you pass through areas that can be correlated with many of these systems. Some stages through which you pass are native stages to other kinds of consciousness, and while passing through these, you will find yourself using symbols in the way that is characteristic of that level. Now, you may take a break and rest your fingers.
To Patty.
And if you think a pretty thought, you may make a flower grow up there, in the living room, somewhere.
10:03. Jane's trance had been good, her pace fast, her voice quiet. During break, while the three of us tried alpha states, Jane abruptly found herself projecting. A magnificent seckle pear tree, well over 2 stories tall, used to grow on the property west of our apartment house. We often admired it from our living room windows. Last year, the owner of the house next door, a professional man, had the tree cut down to make room for a parking lot. Jane said she seemed to use the alpha state as the base for a projection into the past and into this tree. She found herself briefly amid a cluster of its leaves peering out. Resume at 10:24.
Now, symbols should be fluid, ever-changing in their form. Some can be used as casements to house original experiences, as methods of deception, therefore, rather than illumination. When this happens, fear is always involved. Fear, taken into the various stages of consciousness, acts as a distorting lens, hiding the natural dimensions of all symbols, acting as a barrier and as an impediment to free flow. Symbols of an explosive nature serve as releasing agents, setting loose that which has been encased. Without physical storms, you would all go insane. The aggressive nature of symbols is little understood, nor the relationship between aggression and creativity. These are far from opposing characteristics, and without an aggressive thrust, symbols would lack their high mobility. They would exist in a permanent kind of environment. It is both the creative and aggressive aspects of consciousness that allow it to use symbols, to move through various levels of experience, and the aggressive nature of thought that so propels it, despite your knowledge, into realities that you do not understand. Aggressiveness and passivity are both behind symbols of birth, for both are needed. They are both beneath symbols of death, though this is not understood. Inertia results when aggressiveness and creativity are not in the proper proportions, when consciousness leans too severely in one direction or another, when the flow of symbols is either too quick or too slow for the particular psychological environment in which you dwell.
10:32.
Pauses then occur. To put it as simply as possible, there is an almost inconceivable moment in which a no reality occurs, in which a symbol is caught between motion and no motion, a time of uncertainty. This is, of course, translated in many ways and reflected. In such periods, certain symbols can be lost to all intents and purposes, dropping out of an individual's experience, leaving gaps of inertia. These gaps exist quite literally in many systems. You encounter them on many levels. You may find yourself experiencing a state of consciousness, for example, in which nothing seems to happen and no psychological landscape or recognizable symbols occur. These exist not only psychologically or psychically, but as blank areas in terms of space. The spaces may be filled finally with new symbols. If you are perceptive enough, you can sometimes catch yourselves encountering such states of reality in which nothing appears and no signs of any consciousness outside of your own is apparent. Such blank spots can be seeded with new symbols and are often used as channels through which new creative ideas and inventions are inserted. These gaps are recognized by others, therefore, and viewed as dark spaces. They also represent areas of no resistance for those mind travelers who are probing inner realities. They represent uncluttered areas, but also open channels, inactive in themselves, but passively waiting. Now, some symbols also wait in such a passive manner to be activated. They represent future experience, in your terms, that presently lies latent. These blank spots of inertia, therefore, are creative to some extent, in that these other symbols may swim into view within them. Now you may take your break, and we will return.
10:43. Jane's pace had been fast again for the most part. My writing hand was beginning to flag. Resume in the same manner. At 11:12.
Now, we will end dictation and give us a moment. The alpha level is undifferentiated. The energy there is available to be used as you want to. It is the fountainhead or pool in which reservoirs of energy are held in reserve, pulled beneath the more interior self and the outer self. Into this area come signs and portents from deeper levels of the personality. Because it is so situated, it is also of particular use in manipulating the physical organism. As you are learning, spontaneity is extremely important here. Your intent before you enter the alpha state largely predetermines the kind of experience you will have, automatically focusing your attention in those specified areas. It is also beneficial to dip into those areas with no purpose in mind, for here whatever necessary information that you require without your conscious knowledge can be made available. When you learn to explore this region, you can use it as a launching pad for other activities. In so doing, you leave your physical body in good hands. When your consciousness leaves your body, the alpha state maintains its good condition for you. It does this, of course, in any case. The answer to past lives lies in a deeper level, however. You can fish for it from the alpha state if you prefer.
Patty, just randomly, like throwing a line into the water, or is it possible to use some direction?
You can use direction to some extent, but you must seek the direction from the alpha state, requesting it from the deeper layers. Or you may enter those areas yourself with more training. This is more direct.
Patty, will I discover myself just by trying these various states? Smile.
You know that you will, or you would not have asked me the question.
Patty, that's a nice answer. Over 2 more pages of material for Patty followed. After that, with my right hand practically numb, I put my notebook aside and joined Patty and Seth in an impromptu discussion. Seth's energy and vitality seemed to be inexhaustible. His pace even speeded up. The session ended at 11:37 p.m. All of us were weary. Seth Speaks by Jane Roberts. Copyrighted material. All rights reserved.
Chapter 19. Alternate Presence and Multiple Focus.
Session 574, March 17, 1971, 9:26 p.m., Wednesday. No session was held Monday, since Jane needed to rest. She was very sleepy and relaxed before the session this evening also, but she wanted to hold it. Once she began speaking for Seth, however, her manner turned fairly active. Her voice became very clear and precise and slightly loud.
Good evening.
Good evening, Seth.
Now, we will resume dictation and begin our next chapter to be called Alternate Presence and Multiple Focus. Let us begin with the normal waking consciousness that you know. But one step away from this is another level of consciousness into which you all slip without knowing. We will call it A1. It is adjacent to your normal consciousness, separated from it very slightly, and yet in it very definite effects can appear that are not present in your usual state. At this level, many abilities may be used, and the present moment can be experienced in many different fashions, using as a basis the physical data with which you are already familiar. In your normal state, you see the body. In A1, your consciousness can enter the body of another and heal it. You can, in the same manner, perceive the state of your own physical image. You can, according to your abilities, manipulate matter from the inside consciously, with lucidity and alertness. A1 may be used as a side platform, so to speak, from which you can view physical events from a clearer standpoint. Using it, you are released momentarily from bodily pressures, and with that freedom, you can move to relieve them. Problems that seem beyond solution can often, though not always, be solved. Suggestions given are much more effective. It is easier to form images, and they have a greater mobility. A1 is a sidestep away, therefore, and yet an important one.
Pause at 9:33. Jane has already discovered that she has very good abilities using A1 as a side platform. This is a natural method for her. As she puts it, just off to the right of my cheek, there's this little figure, this tiny little me that I can send places and do things with. When requested to, she has been able to enter the bodies of others with this miniature self, to check on various maladies, their causes, etc. Trying my own version of this technique, I have been able to enter Jane's knee, for instance. Jane's interest in these possibilities began to grow after I described the 570th session in Chapter 17 to her. It will be remembered that Seth suggested I do this, and my progress was accelerated through Patty Middleton's visit a week later, with her information about alpha states.
Now, it can be used as the first of a series of steps leading to deeper states of consciousness. It can also be used as the first of a series of adjacent steps. Each of the deeper layers of consciousness can also be used as first steps leading to other adjacent levels. A1 is simple to enter. When you listen to music that you like, when you are indulging in an enjoyable, quiet pursuit, you can sense the different feeling. It may be accompanied by your own characteristic physical clues. You may tap your fingers in a certain way. There may be a particular gesture. You may stare or look dreamily to the left or right. Any such physical clues can help you differentiate between this state of consciousness and the usual predominating one. You have only to recognize it, learn to hold it, and then proceed to experiment in its use. As a rule, it is simply physically oriented, in that the abilities are usually directed toward the inner perception and manipulation of matter or physical environment. You can, therefore, perceive the present moment from a variety of unique standpoints not usually available. You can perceive the moment's reality as it exists for your intestine or your hand, and experience, with practice, the present inner peace and commotion that exist simultaneously within your physical body. This brings a great appreciation and wonder, a sense of unity with the living corporeal material of which you are physically composed. With practice, you can become as intuitively aware of your internal physical environment as of your external physical environment.
Pause at 9:43.
With greater practice, the contents of your own mind will become as readily available. You will see your thoughts as clearly as your inner organs. In this case, you may perceive them symbolically through symbols you will recognize, seeing jumbled thoughts, for example, as weeds, which you can then simply discard. You can request that the thought content of your mind be translated into an intense image, symbolically representing individual thoughts and the overall mental landscape. Then take out what you do not like and replace it with more positive images. This does not mean that this inner landscape must always be completely sunny, but it does mean that it should be well balanced. A dark and largely brooding inner landscape should alert you, so that you begin immediately to change it. None of these accomplishments are beyond my readers, though anyone may find any one given feat more difficult than another. You must also realize that I am speaking in practical terms. You can correct a physical condition, for example, in the manner just given. If so, however, by examining the inner landscape of thoughts, you would find the source here that initially brought about the physical ailment.
Pause.
Feelings can be examined in the same way. They will appear differently, with much greater mobility. Thoughts, for example, may appear as stationary structures, as flowers or trees, houses or landscapes. Feelings will appear more often in the changing mobility of water, wind, weather, skies, and changing color. Any physical ailment, then, can be perceived in this state by looking inward into the body and discovering it. Then, by changing what you see, you may find yourself entering your body or another's as a very small miniature, or as a point of light, or simply without any substance, yet aware of the inner body environment.
9:54.
You change what needs to be changed in whatever way occurs to you. Then, by directing the body's energy in that direction, by entering the flesh and bringing certain portions together that need this adjustment, by manipulating areas of the spine. Then, from this adjacent platform of A1 consciousness, you perceive the mental thought patterns of yourself or the other person in whatever way you find characteristic of you. You may perceive the thought patterns as quickly flashing sentences or words that are usually seen within your mind or within the other mind, or as black letters that form words. Or you may hear the words and thoughts being expressed, or you may see the earlier mentioned landscape in which the thoughts symbolically form into a picture. This will show you how the thoughts brought about the physical malady and which ones were involved. The same thing should then be done with the feeling pattern. This may be perceived as bursts of dark or light colors in motion, or simply one particular emotion of great force may be felt. If it is very strong, one emotion may be felt in many such guises. In the case of both thoughts and emotions, with great confidence you pluck out those that are connected with the malady. In such a manner, you have made adjustments on three levels. A1 may be used also as a great framework for creativity, concentration, study, refreshment, rest, and meditation. You may evolve your own image of this state to help you, imagining it as a room or a pleasant landscape or platform. Spontaneously, you will find your own symbol for this state. You may take your break.
10:02. Jane's trance had been deep, and my writing hand could attest to her fast delivery. In spite of being sleepy just before the session, she said she had felt Seth as clear as a bell. She had indeed spoken with an extra clarity. She'd also been aware of what Seth was saying, which usually isn't the case. This material was another instance of how Seth developed an idea in an original way. At first, I wondered whether his A1 state would merely repeat the alpha data given to us by Patty Middleton, but it soon developed that he was using alpha only as a takeoff point. Already, he was well beyond it. Resume in the same fast manner at 10:21.
Now, this state may be used also as a step to the next state of consciousness, leading to a deeper trance condition, still relating, however, to the reality system that you understand. Or it may be used as a step leading to an adjacent level of consciousness, two steps away, therefore, on the same level from normal reality. In this case, it will lead you not into a deeper examination and perception of the present moment, but instead into an awareness and recognition of what I will call alternate present moments. You will be taking steps aside from the present that you know. This leads to an exploration mentioned earlier in this book into probabilities. This state can be extremely advantageous when you are trying to solve problems having to do with future arrangements, decisions that will affect the future and any matters, in fact, in which important decisions for the future must be made. In this state, you are able to try out various alternative decisions and some probable results, not imaginatively, but in quite practical terms.
Pause.
These probabilities are realities, regardless of which decision you make. Say, for example, that you have three choices and it is imperative that you select one. Using this state, you take the first choice. The alternative present is the moment in which you make that choice. Having made it, the present is changed, and quite clearly you perceive exactly the way it is changed and what actions and events will flow from the change into the future that belongs to that particular alternate present.
10:30.
You do the same with each of the other choices, all from the framework of that state of consciousness. The methods in each case are the same. You make the decision. You then become aware, in whatever way you choose, of the physical effects within your body. You enter the body as you did in the way I gave earlier for healing. With great sensitivity, you are able to see what physical effect the decision will have, whether the state of the body remains the same, whether there is a great sense of health within it, or the incipient beginning of great difficulties. In like manner, you explore the mental and feeling aspects. Then you turn your attention outward toward the environment that results from this alternate present. Mentally, events will appear to you. You may experience these strongly or merely view them. They may become so vivid that you momentarily forget yourself. But if you maintain your contact with this level of consciousness, this will happen seldom. As a rule, you are very aware of what you are doing. According to the situation, you can do the same thing to find out the effect of this decision on others specifically. You then return to normal consciousness, going through the A1 state that you used as a preliminary. After a period of rest, return and make the second decision, and again the third, following through in the same manner. Then, in your normal state of consciousness, of course, you make the decision that you want from the information and experience that you have received.
1036.
The names make little difference. For simplicity's sake, call this level of consciousness A1A. There is an A1B, you see, still adjacent to this one, and still starting off from an alternate present that can be used for many other purposes.
Pause.
It is not easy for the ordinary individual to enter, and it deals with group presence, with mass probabilities, racial matters, the movement of civilization. It is one that would be most beneficial to politicians and statesmen, and it also can be used to probe into probable pasts as well. Here, it would be of benefit in learning of old ruins, for example, and vanished civilizations, but only if the specific probable past were probed in which these existed. The adjacent level now would be A1C, which is an extension of the one just given, in which there is greater freedom of action, mobility, and experience. Here, to some extent, there is some participation in the events perceived. There is no need to go deeply into any of these beyond this point, because ordinarily you will not be involved with them, and they lead into realities that have little reference to your own. There are states of consciousness too divorced, and under usual circumstances, this is as far as your present consciousness is able to go in that particular direction. The first state, A1A, is the most practical and the easiest for you, but often you must still have a good feeling for the A1 level before you are willing to take that next adjacent step. It allows for great expansion, however, within its limitations. Using it, you can discover, for example, what would have happened if I did this or the other. Remember, these are all adjacent levels, going out horizontally.
1047.
Directly beneath A1 now, you will have A2, which is a slightly deeper state, using the analogy of up and down direction. It is less physically oriented than A1. You still have excellent lucidity and awareness. This state can be used to explore the past in your terms of reference within the probable system that you know. Reincarnational pasts are known to you here, and if some personal malady cannot be solved from A1, you may have to go to A2, discovering that it originated from another existence. This state is distinguished by a slower breathing pattern, and, unless other directions are given, by a somewhat lowered temperature and longer alpha waves, a slower frequency. There is still relation to environment, however, and awareness of it. This may be purposely blocked off for greater efficiency, but it is not necessary. In many cases, the eyes may be open, for example, though it may be easier to close them. Here, sensitivity is quickened. Without necessarily following the methods given in A1, the mental, physical, and feeling aspects of past personalities will appear.
1055.
They may be perceived in various ways according to the characteristics of the individual who is in this state. This can be used to discover the origin of an idea in the past, or to find anything that has been lost there, as long as it is within your probability system. Directly beneath this is A3. You have an extension again here dealing with mass issues, movements of land, the history of your planet as you know it, the knowledge of the races that inhabited it, the history of the animals, the layers of gas and coal, and of the various ages that swept across the planet and changed it. You may take your break.
10:59 p.m. Jane's trance had again been very good. She had experienced many images, but couldn't put them into words now. My writing hand was lame. Because of this, we didn't resume the session, much as I wanted to. Seth, Jane said, already had other directions in mind, involving the right and left. Although he hadn't moved into these areas yet to any great degree via analogies, he had it all planned. She could see these directions. They had to do with probabilities. Jane told me that had the session continued, Seth was going to say that Patty Middleton's visit last week had been incipient from the time we met her in Philadelphia in September 1970. Seth knew there was a high probability that she would be here when he was working on the section of his book concerning stages of consciousness. This confirms my own speculations about the timing of her visit. See the notes prefacing the 573rd session in Chapter 18. This isn't to say that Patty's journey here was preordained. Free will always operates. She simply picked up that this was a good time to see us and chose to make the trip. Seth then used her information about Alpha as an impetus for his own material on A1, A1A, A2, etc. Session 575, March 24th, 1971, 9:05 p.m., Wednesday. Compared to her intense approach in recent sessions, long portions of Jane's delivery tonight were quiet and easy.
Good evening.
Good evening, Seth.
Now, we will resume dictation. A4 brings you to a level that is beneath matter formations, a level in which ideas and concepts can be perceived, although their representations do not appear in the present physical reality that you know. From this layer, many of the deepest inspirations come. These ideas and concepts, having their own electromagnetic identity, nevertheless appear as the symbolic landscape at this level of consciousness. This is difficult to explain. The thoughts do not appear as pseudo-images, for example, or assume any pseudo-materialization, yet they are felt vividly, perceived, and picked up by portions of the brain, those seemingly unused portions for which science has found no answer. These ideas and concepts, obviously, came from consciousness. However, they represent incipient latent developments that may or may not occur in physical reality. They may or may not be perceived by any given individual. The characteristic interest and abilities of the personality involved will have much to do with his recognition of the realities within this layer of consciousness.
Pause at 9:16. Jane, as Seth, took a lengthy pause as a fire engine passed the house, its siren screaming.
The material available, however, represents building blocks for many probable systems. It is an open area into which many other dimensions have access. It often becomes available in sleep states. Complete innovations, world-shattering inventions, these all lie waiting, so to speak, in this huge reservoir. Strong personal conversions are often affected from this level.
pause.
Now, any individual can pass through these levels and remain relatively untouched and unaware, can travel through them with unperceiving. The overall intentions and characteristics of the personality will determine the quality of perception and understanding. The material mentioned is available in each of the levels of consciousness given, but it must be sought out, either through conscious desire or strong unconscious desire. If it is not, then the gifts available and the potential simply remain unused and unclaimed.
925.
The states of consciousness merge also one into the other, and it is obvious that I am using the terms of depth to make the discussion easier. Starting with the ego or waking consciousness as the outer self focused toward exterior reality, these states are broad, more like planes to be explored. Each one, therefore, opens in great adjacent areas also, and there are many paths to be taken according to your interest and desire. As your ordinary waking state perceives an entire universe of physical data, so each of these other states of consciousness perceive realities as complicated, varied, and vivid. It is for this reason that it is so difficult to explain the experiences possible within any given one.
Long pause.
A5 opens up a dimension in which the vital consciousness of any personality can at least theoretically be contacted. This involves communicating not only with past personalities in your terms, but future ones. It is a level of consciousness very seldom reached. It is not, for example, the layer used by most mediums. It is a meeting ground in which personalities from any time or place or probable system can communicate with each other in clear terms, understood by all. Since past, present, and future do not exist, this is a level of crystal clear communication of consciousness. Those involved have an excellent knowledge of their own backgrounds and histories, of course. But in this state possess also a much larger perspective, in which private and historical backgrounds are seen as a portion of a greater perceivable whole.
935.
At this level, messages literally flash through the centuries from one great man or woman to another. The future speaks to the past. The great artists have always been able to communicate at this level, and while living, literally operated at this level of consciousness a good deal of the time. Only the most exterior portions of their personalities bowed to the dictates of historical period. For those who reach this state and utilize it, communication is clearest. It must be understood that this communication works in both ways. Leonardo da Vinci knew of Picasso, for example. There are great men and women who go unknown. Their contemporaries ignore them. Their achievements may be misunderstood or physically lost, but at this level of consciousness they share in these communications, and at another level of existence their achievements are recognized. I do not mean to imply, however, that only the great share in this communication of consciousness.
Pause.
A great simplicity is necessary, and out of this, many of the most lowly, in men's terms, also share in these communications. There is an unending conversation going on throughout the universe, and a most meaningful one.
Long pause.
Those from both your past and your future have a hand in your present world. And at this level, the problems that have been met and will be encountered are being discussed. This is the heart of communication. It is most usually encountered either in a protected deep level of sleep or in a sudden spontaneous trance state. Great energy is generated. Now, you may take your break.
947. Jane was aware that her pace had been quite slow most of the time. Resume at a faster rate at 10:05.
Now, The information received in any of these states of consciousness must be interpreted for the normal waking consciousness if any physical memory is to be maintained. In many cases, memory remains unconscious as far as waking self is concerned, but the experiences themselves can completely change the structure of an individual life. Disastrous courses can be averted through such inner communications and illuminations, whether or not the ego is aware of them. The experiences at these various levels may be interpreted symbolically. They may appear in the form of fantasy, fiction, or artwork, without the conscious self realizing their origin. Now, at any of these various stages of consciousness, other phenomena may also be perceived. Thought forms, for example, energy manifestations, projections from the personal subconscious, and projections from the collective unconscious. Any or all of these may take symbolic form and may appear beneficial or threatening according to the attitude of the personality involved. They should be regarded as quite natural phenomena, often neutral in intent. Often they are incipient forms given activity by the personality who encounters them. The nature of their activity, therefore, will be projected outward from the personality onto the relatively passive materialization. The person encountering these has only to turn his attention away to deactivate the phenomenon. This does not mean that the phenomenon is not real. Its nature is simply of a different kind and degree. It has some energy of its own, but needs additional energy from a perceiver for any interrelationship to take place. If such a materialization appears threatening, then simply wish it peace and withdraw your attention from it. It draws its main activating energy from your focusing, and according to the intensity and nature of your focus. You must not take the root assumptions of physical existence with you as you journey through these levels of consciousness. Divest yourself of as many of them as possible, for they can cause you to misinterpret your experiences.
Pause.
There are other layers of awareness beneath this one, but here there is a much greater tendency for one to merge into the other. In the next level, for example, communication is possible with various kinds of consciousness that have never been physically manifested in your terms. Personalities who do not have a physical reality in either your present or future, yet who are connected with your system of reality, both as guardians and custodians. Almost all experiences from this level will be symbolically represented, for otherwise they would have no meaning to you. The experiences will all have to do in one way or another with non-physical life, non-corporeal consciousness and forms, and the independence of consciousness from matter. These experiences will always be supportive. Out-of-body experiences will often be involved here, in which the projectionist finds himself in an unearthly environment, or one of great beauty and grandeur. The stuff of the environment will have its origin in the mind of the projectionist, being symbolic of his idea, for example, of life after death. A speaker or speakers will appear in whatever guise will be most acceptable to the projectionist, whether it be the guise of a god, an angel, or a disciple. This is the most characteristic kind of experience from this level.
Pause.
According to the abilities and understanding of the projectionist, however, more thorough messages can be given, and it may be quite obvious that the speakers are indeed only symbols of greater identities. Some will be able to understand the communications more clearly. The true nature of the non-physical speakers may then be made known. Deeper projections into that environment may then be possible. In this state also, great vistas of historic pasts and futures may be seen. All of these levels of consciousness are filled with the tapestry of various communications that can be followed through according to the purpose of the personality involved.
1033.
Molecular structures send out their own messages, and unless you are tuned in to perceive them, they may be interpreted as static or meaningless noise. Any of these levels of consciousness can be covered in a twinkling, and no notice taken of it. Or, at least theoretically, you could spend a lifetime exploring any given level. You may have several quite valid experiences at level 4, for example, without any awareness of the first three. The stages are there for those who know what they are and how to use them. Many quite spontaneously find their own way. The other adjacent levels on the horizontal line now involve you in various alternate realities, each one a greater distance from your own. Many of these involve systems in which life and death, as you know it, does not occur, where time is felt as weight, systems in which the root assumptions are so different from your own that you would only accept any experiences as fantasy. For this reason, you are much less apt to travel in those directions. In some, there are built-in impediments. Even projection from your universe into a universe of antimatter is most difficult, for example. The electromagnetic makeup even of your thoughts would be adversely affected, and yet, theoretically, this is possible from one of these adjacent levels of consciousness. I suggest your break.
1042. Jane's trance had been excellent, her delivery faster yet. Resume at 10:55.
Often, you visit such areas of consciousness in the dream state, where you fall into them spontaneously, remembering in the morning a fantastic dream. Consciousness must use all of its parts and activities, even as the body must. When you are sleeping, therefore, your consciousness turns itself in many of these directions, often perceiving willy-nilly bits and pieces of reality that are available to it at its different stages. This also happens beneath your normal physical focus to some extent, even as you go about your waking activities. The alternate presents of which I spoke are not simply alternate methods of perceiving one objective present. There are many alternate presents, with you focused only in one of them. When you let your attention waver, however, you may often fall into a state in which you momentarily perceive glimpses of another alternate present. The whole self, the soul, knows of its reality in all such systems, and you, as a part of it, are working toward the same state of self-awareness and development. When you are proficient, you will not be swept willy-nilly into other stages of consciousness as you sleep, but will be able to understand and direct these activities. Consciousness is an attribute of the soul, a tool that can be turned in many directions. You are not your consciousness. It is something that belongs to you and to the soul. You are learning to use it. To the extent that you understand and utilize the various aspects of consciousness, you will learn to understand your own reality, and the conscious self will truly become conscious. You will be able to perceive physical reality because you want to, knowing it to be one of many realities. You will not be forced to perceive it alone out of ignorance.
1102.
End of dictation. Now, you may ask me any questions that you have, or end the session as you prefer.
I hope you'll cover for your book the question Jane and I were discussing at the supper table this evening, about what you actually see when you're speaking to a group of people, focusing upon each of us as individuals in this time and place.
I will see that it is covered for you. My perceptions were dealt with in the earlier chapters of the book, but not in just that way.
In the ESP class session of February 9, 1971, Seth gave an excellent account of the particular aspect of his perceptions that I was referring to now. Ever since then, I've wanted to ask him to say more about this in his book. Here's an extract from the class session, which was recorded as usual.
Now, no one asked me what it was like when I go into a trance. To go into a trance is simply to focus intensely in a highly specific area of reality. Therefore, I throw or project a part of what I am here, because I am able to utilize greater areas of my personality than those with which you are now acquainted in yourselves. I can do this in a conscious manner, and yet still, as I have mentioned, when I am here, I find a difficulty in looking at you and relating to the selves that you think you are within your given moment of time, for I see the composites. So it takes some training on my part to pinpoint you in the time and space with which you are acquainted. You are aware of the selves that sit in this room on a particular evening of a snowstorm, with certain members of the class present, certain members absent, and with some new people here. I am familiar with the inner portions of yourselves that you also know, however, but that the egotistical self has hidden from you, and so I must think constantly to myself, "Oh yes, Our Lady of Venice,"
Seth's affectionate term for a class member,
thinks that she sits in this specific room at this specific hour and is wearing a blue outfit. But I am aware of a Lady of Venice, you see, in several different manifestations, in various existences, all occurring at once. I must remember that she is not aware of these, and when I speak to her, I must use a designation that will make sense to her at this particular time. To some extent, I serve as a communicator from one level of yourselves to other levels of yourselves, for I remind you of what you are. You have been much given to thoughts of death this evening. Now, I have been a very lively corpse many times, but then, so have you all. The inner portions of yourselves know this well. You have walked away from more graves than you can remember, and will indeed, many of you, walk away from more. Why, then, do you worry about justifying your own existence in this hour?
Seth's delivery now speeded up considerably, and we exchanged views on the subject just quoted in a lively manner. I made no effort to record the conversation.
I am sure you will like my book when you read it.
I like it now. After another short exchange,
now I will bid you a fond good evening.
Good night, Seth, and thank you very much. 11:05 p.m. Session 576, March 29, 1971, 9:17 p.m., Monday. Through March 26th to 28th, Jane had a notice running under personals in the Elmira Star Gazette, stating her intention to form a class in creative writing. This is something she's wanted to do for a long time. Today she's been receiving calls as a result, and took one this evening just as we sat for the session at 9. Seth had some comments, although we hadn't asked for them.
Now, good evening.
Good evening, Seth.
As far as helping other people is concerned, Rupert can help far better in his psychic class or in another additional one. I am not telling him not to have his creative writing class. He can do as he likes. He will be using the same ideas but different methods in any case. The people who have called about creative writing are only using that as an excuse. They feel a need of development in many areas.
Oddly enough, the notice about the writing class has spurred calls about the ESP class. Jane was concerned about the influx of people for the latter, since she has run out of room in the apartment. She told me the problems made her nervous but happy as she considered them.
Now, give us a moment. Your suggestions as to the seances and Rupert's as to other experiments, these ideas are both good ones. His regular classes cannot get larger. There are physical limitations. There are other less tangible limitations, however, having to do with the interactions of the people involved. There are also other possibilities here that you have not thought of.
Long pause at 9:27.